She drew another controlled breath of the frosty air, staring through the bridge viewport at the lush star field that waited ahead, crossed by a wide swath like a milky river. Looking through the disk of the galaxy toward the dense core, she saw the stars appear to stream like a wide river, the Gorgon headed toward the luminous bulge of the galactic center.
Commander, she lowered her voice, what is your opinion of the overall morale on the ship?
Kratos took a step closer so he could answer in a soft voice.
We have good people, Admiral, as you know, well-trained and well-drilled, but they have repeatedly suffered grievous defeats.
Have they lost faith in me? Dalla asked.
Her face was chiseled in stone. She made herself strong and tried not to show that Kratos's answer could devastate her. She averted her emerald eyes, afraid that he might see something in them.
Absolutely not, Admiral.
Kratos answered with a tinge of surprise.
They have the utmost confidence in you.
She nodded to cover her long sigh of relief, then raised her voice, turning to the communications lieutenant.
Give me an open ship channel, she said. I want to address all of our troops.
Dalla gathered her thoughts until the lieutenant nodded to her. She spoke in a loud, firm voice that reverberated through the damaged ship.
Attention, all crew members of the Gorgon. I wish to commend you for your efforts against overwhelming odds, against a foe that continues to gain the upper hand through treachery and uncanny luck. We must now prepare for the next phase in this battle, however. We are making our way to the core systems, to the last strongholds that still swear loyalty to the Empire. It was not originally my intention to join with one of the Imperial warlords struggling for dominance, but it now appears that we must fight the larger fight. We need to convince them of their real enemy and show those still faithful to the Emperor that we must be united to be strong.
She paused before raising her voice.
Yes, the Gorgon has been damaged. Yes, we have suffered severe losses. We have been wounded. But we will never be defeated. Trials such as these only strengthen us. Continue your efforts to make the Gorgon powerful again. Thank you for your service.
She signaled for the communications lieutenant to stop the transmission. She looked out again at the moving stream of stars. The Gorgon's computer banks held all the information Dalla had pulled from Maw Installation's classified computer banks. The weapons designs and new concepts alone would help the Empire win the next phase of the war. As she stood on the cold bridge with gloved hands clasped behind her back, she watched the universe unfold in front of her. The Star Destroyer Gorgon sailed on toward the core systems. Through persistence, she could become victorious. One day. 43. The Lady Luck cruised low over the jagged surface of Kessel. Bleached sunlight washed across the alkali flats. The sky scintillated with intermittent streaks of light, flaming trails of meteorites, chunks of Kessel's destroyed moon burning down through the thin atmosphere.
You know, this is all kind of beautiful, Lando said, in its own way.
Beside him in the space yacht's overly padded passenger seat, Mara Jade frowned skeptically. She looked at him as if she thought he was crazy, not a new thought.
If you say so, she said.
Of course, it'll take a lot of work, Lando admitted, lifting one hand off the controls so he could rest it on the arm of her chair. She flinched at his move, but not too much.
First order of business will be to get the atmosphere factories up to full capacity again. I'll have to bring in specially modified droids. I've already talked to Neen Nunb, my Sallustan friend, who says he'd love to make his home down in those tunnels. I think he'll make a great crew boss.
Lando raised his eyebrows and flashed her his most dazzling smile.
Defense will be difficult without the moon base, but I'm sure with the help of the Smugglers Alliance, we can put together a great system. You and I will make quite a team, Mara. I'm really going to enjoy working closely with you.
Mara sighed, but it was more of a resigned, tolerant noise than actual annoyance.
You just don't give up, do you, Calrissian?
He shook his head, still grinning.
Nope, giving up is not my style. Not ever.
Mara slumped back in her passenger chair and stared out the Lady Luck's front viewport.
I was afraid of that.
Overhead in the white skies of Kessel, shooting stars continued to rain down. Two medical droids supported a recovering Mon Mothma. She stood dripping as she emerged from the Bacta tank. She wavered a little and held on to the smooth shoulder plates of the droids. Finally, she stood on her own again, took a deep breath, and lifted her head to smile. Leia stood watching, impressed at the rapid improvement.
"I never thought I'd see you stand again, Mon Mothma."
"Neither did I," the former chief of state admitted with a rueful shrug. "But my body is healing itself with a vengeance. The Bacta tanks are working overtime, effective again now that Kilgal removed the nanodestroyers. I'm anxious to move about to see all the things that happened while I was sick. I have a lot to catch up on. But the medical droids say I have to stay here and rest." Leia laughed.
"You have plenty of time. Don't worry. Do you..."
She hesitated, not wanting to push Mon Mothma, but anxious to know.
"Do you have any idea when you'll be ready to take back your duties as chief of state?"
Assisted again by the droids, Mon Mothma toiled over to one of the padded seats near the Bacta tank. She slowly sank into the cushions. Still damp garments clung to her wasted body. She did not answer for a long time. When Mon Mothma looked up, her expression made Leia's heart skip a beat.
"Leia, I am no longer chief of state."
"You are," she said. "I served well for many years, but this wasting illness has made me weak, not only physically, but also in the eyes of the New Republic. The New Republic must not waver in these trying times. Our leadership must be strong and dynamic. We need someone like you, Leia, daughter of the legendary Senator Bail Organa." "My decision is firm. I won't attempt to regain my title. It's time for me to rest and recover with a great deal of thought on how best to serve the New Republic. Until such time as that changes, our future is in your hands." Leia swallowed and forced a comically stoic expression on her face.
"I was afraid you were going to say that," she said. "But if I can handle a few Imperial renegades, I suppose I can keep the council members in line. After all, they're on our side."
"You may find that the Imperials surrender a bit more readily than council members, Leia." Leia groaned.
"You're probably right."
The winds sang on the planet Vortex. Leia stared up at the newly rebuilt Cathedral of Winds, which rose like a gesture of defiance against the terrible storms. Beside her, Han kept blinking as the breezes stung his eyes, but he seemed awed by the tall structure. The new cathedral was different from what had been destroyed by Akbar's crash, more streamlined. The winged Vors had shown no interest in recreating their previous design, following a plan that seemed to flow from their collective alien minds. Crystal cylinders glittered in the sunlight, large and small tubes like a towering pipe organ. Notches and windows had been cut into the curved surfaces. The leathery winged Vors flew about, opening and closing the orifices to shape patterns of music as the winds whistled through. Everything else hunched low to the ground, but the Cathedral of Winds soared, like the spirit of the New Republic. The impending storm rippled the thick carpet of purple, vermilion, and tan grasses that covered the plains. Low hummocks, underground Vor dwellings for the vicious storm season, lay in concentric rings around the pinnacles of the new cathedral. Leia and Han stood surrounded by a New Republic formal escort on a patch of grass packed down with polished squares of synthetic marble, laid out to form a low viewing stage. The Vors wheeled about in the air, flapping their wings and circling over the audience. The winged aliens had allowed no off-worlders to hear the concert of winds since the Emperor Palpatine had established his new order. But with the success of the rebellion, the Vors had finally permitted spectators again, not only representatives from the New Republic, but also dignitaries from a host of populated worlds. Leia's first attempt to come here with Akbar had ended in disaster, but she was certain that this time everything would turn out well. Han stood beside her, dressed in the diplomatic finery that he obviously found uncomfortable, but she thought it made him look dashing. That seemed no consolation to her husband as he chafed under the rough and stiff formal dress. He must have sensed Leia looking at him because he glanced down to give her a roguish smile. He snuggled closer, slipping an arm around her waist and pulling her tightly against him. The wind whipped around them.
"Feels good to relax," he said. "And it's good to be with you, Your Highness." I'm chief of state now, General Solo, she said with a twinkle in her eyes. Maybe I should order you to stay home more often.
He laughed. Think it would make any difference? You know how good I am at following rules.
Leia smiled as the wind stirred her hair. I suppose the two of us will just have to work out a compromise, she said. Why does it seem as if the whole galaxy conspires to keep us away from each other all the time? We used to have adventures together.
Maybe it's payback for all the lucky breaks I've had, he said.
I hope your luck comes back soon, then.
She snuggled against him. Never quote me the odds. Han ran his fingers up and down her back, making her skin tingle. I feel lucky enough right now.
The wind picked up and the hollow music lifted higher.
Chewbacca's matted fur blew in all directions, making him look as if he had toweled off after a steam bath and forgotten to comb his body hair. He bellowed over the winds and the music of the cathedral. Threepio's tinny voice rang out.
Anakin, Jason, and Jaina, children, where are you? Oh, please do come back here. We're growing very worried.
Chewbacca and Threepio waded through the thick grasses in search of the twins and their little brother. Anakin had crawled off to hide during the cathedral's opening ceremony. Distracted by the ethereal harmonies, none of the spectators had noticed the baby disappearing into the grasses, including Chewbacca and Threepio. Upon seeing their little brother missing, Jason and Jaina had both dashed out into the expansive fields, claiming they would help find baby Anakin. And, of course, now all three children were lost. Chewbacca and Threepio tried not to cause too much of a distraction as they searched.
Jason and Jaina, Threepio said. Oh, dear, what are we to do, Chewbacca? This is most embarrassing.
They stumbled through thick, rustling grass that rose to Chewbacca's chest. Threepio spread his golden arms to clear a path for himself.
This is scratching up my plating, he said. I was never meant for duty like this.
Chewbacca cocked his head to listen, ignoring Threepio's complaints. He heard children giggling somewhere among the whispering grass blades. The Wookiee plunged through the thickets, swiping with his hairy paws to knock the blades out of his way. He found no one, only a trampled path from where he had heard the sounds. He would find them sooner or later. From behind him, swallowed up in the dense grass, he heard another thin voice.
Oh, Chewbacca, where have you gone? Now I'm lost.
Standing on the polished mosaic platform of synthetic marble squares, Admiral Ackbar held himself rigidly at attention beside white-robed Winter as the cathedral played its music. They sat among other off-world dignitaries and lavishly clad representatives from various planets. He had been reluctant to come for the christening ceremony since he had accidentally destroyed the old Cathedral of Winds. He had feared the Vors might hold a grudge against him, but the Vors were a flat, emotionless race who seemed unaffected by individual events. They simply pushed on, recovering and striving to complete their plans. They had not censured the New Republic, had demanded no retribution. They had simply fallen to work reconstructing the Cathedral of Winds. The wind whistled cold around his exposed skin. The music sounded beautiful. Nearby, a lovely woman decked in jewels and bright primary colors clung to a haggard, weary-looking young man who slumped in his chair. Ackbar glanced at them, then bent close to Winter, lowering his voice.
Could you tell me who those people are? I do not recognize them.
Winter studied the pair, and her face took on a distant look as if she were sifting through various files in her mind.
I believe that is the Duchess Mistel from Dargle and her consort.
End of side 6. To continue, change side selector switch and turn the cassette over.